cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And good morning. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio, and another big move for the NBA yesterday, as it was announced that the Rockets and the Thunder have agreed to a trade that would send Russell Westbrook to Houston. As Chris Paul and his huge contract go off into Oklahoma City's rebuilding plan, not likely to stay there, probably will be shipped somewhere else as Sam Presti looks ahead and rebuilds. But, man, this should be fun in Houston. If anything, there's going to be two things that are going to happen in Houston with the Rockets this year, and neither one of them is going to be boring, okay? Neither one will be boring. One, the team will actually be really good. Right? It'll be really a James Harden and Russell Westbrook reuniting, the two guys working together, one of the solid, most solid backcourts in the NBA. D'Antoni finds a way to up the tempo. Both guys are producing. Both guys are clicking. The Rockets are winning game and are a threat in a big cluster in the Western Conference of teams that could win the NBA Finals. Or it could not work out. There'll be drama. There'll be back conversations. There'll be inside information. There might be even some leaks as to what's really going on. Maybe the friendship doesn't really pan out. Maybe it doesn't work. Maybe D'Antoni gets frustrated. I feel like there's just these two results that occur from this. But it won't be dull. It won't be, well, you know, we're a little over 500 and everything's fine. We're just not as good as other teams and we're just doing the best we can. Nah, I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to be really good and it's going to work, or they're not going to work out and it's going to be really bad and there's going to be a lot of backfighting. I don't know. We'll see. But again, the move, I like it. It's bold for the Rockets. It's absolutely bold because, one, like I said, it's reuniting two guys who wanted to be reunited. Reports are both wanted this deal. They wanted it to happen. But two, it's also about the Rockets not giving up. And as I was saying before, it's imperative that in a Western Conference where there isn't going to be a dominating team, right, there isn't going to be that one team that's so head and shoulders above everybody else. Maybe there's some attrition there where, hey, listen, if I can put together a pretty good basketball team, we got a shot as much as anybody else. And that's what the Rockets are attempting to do. The Oklahoma City Thunder took the other turn. We're going to rebuild. We're going to get draft picks. We're going to trade our assets away to get other future assets. But the Rockets said, man, we could have gone down that road too, but we're not. We're actually going to compete.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio, on your Friday as we head into the weekend. All right, so now that the Rockets have put themselves in contention, think about what we have in the Western Conference right now. Think about how good it's going to be next year. I mean, think about, what do we do every time we see a team that was putting together something? I mean, just something in the West, right? Whether it was LeBron James going to the Lakers or anything else along, like Paul George when he went to Oklahoma City when Durant left. Anybody putting together a team, right? What did we say for the last 4 years, 5 years? Well, they're not Golden State good, right? That was the conversation for at least the past three with Durant on the roster. Well, they're not Golden State good. We'll see if they can beat Golden State. We'll see if they have what it takes to beat the Warriors in a 7-game playoff. Really hard to beat Golden State 4 times in a 7-game series. I know I said that. Now look at where the Western Conference is, right? Golden State is still going to be good. Despite Durant's departure, no Andre Iguodala, this team is still going to be good. D'Angelo Russell replaces Klay Thompson for right now, but when Thompson comes back from the injury, they're going to still be a very good basketball team. They still got the core three. Now, what about Denver? If my reports that I'm hearing from friends of mine who cover the Nuggets, and if they're accurate, Michael Porter Jr. is going to be fantastic. Very, very good. missed all of last year, had back surgery coming out of Missouri. Now, he did suffer an injury in summer league play, but he should be good to go by training camp. But by all accounts, the addition of Jeremy Grant and now Michael Porter Jr., who would they say, that's what I'm hearing, is he's outstanding, is going to add to a 54-win team last year. Now, I don't know if they get 54 wins because the team, you know, everybody else is really getting good. The Rockets, as we mentioned, they've just upgraded their point guard position with the acquisition of Russell Westbrook. Now they got a dynamic backcourt with two guys reunited from their Thunder days in Westbrook and Harden, two guys who won back-to-back MVPs together. You know, with the year Russell Westbrook won it, he averaged a triple-double. Harden won it last season, not this last season, but the season before. The Utah Jazz picked up Mike Conley to add to Donovan Mitchell. The Clippers picked up Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. The Lakers acquired Anthony Davis to go along with LeBron James. The New Orleans Pelicans should be young and fun. But name the team. Name me the team that is the standard bearer for the West right now. When I mention Denver, when I mention Utah, when I mention the Rockets, when I mention the Clippers, when I mention the Lakers, can you honestly say, well, they're not Golden State good? No, you can't. This is going to be more open than we've seen it in the last 5 years. This is going to be fantastic for the league. Okay, now let's move up to the East. There, you got a little of a problem, but it's not all lost. The beneficiary of all of the movements and the moving and shaking is going to be Milwaukee. They have the MVP. They have the best player in the game. They're coming off a 60-win season without any real major changes. Philadelphia is still Philadelphia. They lost Jimmy Butler, but they've still got talented guys, and they seem to go with whatever Joel Embiid goes. Toronto's going to take a step back. Boston's taking a step back. Brooklyn is going to take a step up, and they even take a bigger step up when Kevin Durant joins the team next season. Not this season, but next season. Right? The East may not have eight quality teams to banter about. But the all eyes are going to clearly be on the West. I know I told you this story before. There was, I want to say about 2007 or so. I'll have to look, but there was one year where it was crazy. George Karl was coaching the Nuggets at the time. And it was, you know, he talked about, hey, listen, in this conference, you got to win 50 games to make the playoffs. You almost had to win 50 games to make the playoffs last year. I mean, the Clippers made the postseason with 48 wins. I mean, you almost needed 50 to win. I remember I called it a Halley's Comet type of year because it was a weird situation in the West where the eight teams had to vie for 50-plus wins just to make the playoffs. You don't normally see that. Usually 7 or 8, you know, 46, 47 wins. And it seemed like everybody in the West had to win 50, 52 games, which is really hard to do. And I called it a Halley's Comet year. And I remember I asked that to a friend of mine who was a reporter for the Denver Post. And he reiterated that question to George Karl. And then George Karl used that in a press conference. And it was my idea. And you know what? I didn't get any credit for that whatsoever, man. I didn't get any credit. So I said it to a friend in an interview on the radio. My friend thought that was cool. He used that in a question to George Karl. And the next thing I know, George Karl is using it in a press conference to talk about how crazy the Western Conference is. And I think he used it twice, which really bothered me. It belonged to me. But nevertheless, I'll be willing to share my ideas as crazy as they are. But my overall point was, that was a weird time for the league. That was a weird time for the conference. That's when all the stars lined up and everything was going to be perfect and everybody was playing well. And it was really like a bouquet of greatness, right? Pluck any flower and any flower was going to smell nice. That's what we have now. I mean, think about that right now. It is not this overpowering Golden State Warriors amongst these small flowers that look pretty, but really aren't going to grow much. Now the whole bouquet of the West is starting to bloom, and grab one and any one of them is going to be good. I mean, seriously, I think this should be celebrated. You know, look, the creation of these crazy super teams, right, has given us something really special to look forward to, rather than let's hope somebody can end the Golden State dynasty because I want to see someone different, which is where we always head whenever a team is any good and has got longevity. I don't want to see them win again. I'm tired of them winning all the time. I want to see somebody different. Well, you know what? If you get Golden State in the finals again, man, I'll tell you what, they will have earned it, really earned it. Not that they didn't earn it before, but you know what I mean. The landmines are going to be really out there for them. But take Golden State. Take the Nuggets if you want, if you believe in what I'm hearing about Michael Porter Jr., and if you don't take them. Take the Rockets. Take the Jazz. Take the Clippers. Take the Lakers. Take, those teams. Throw them in a hat. Pick a team. Any team. You really have. All right, so now you've got a team out of the West. Now go to the East. You throw Milwaukee in there in terms of a finals presence, right? I mean, now we're talking. It's not just Golden State and everybody else. Now it's everybody else, including Golden State. And I think that's great. And that's what this Russell Westbrook trade actually does, right? So as I said earlier, it's not surprising. This news didn't shock us. If you follow this, you knew it was coming. You knew Sam Presti was dealing Westbrook because his direction was, hey, now that we've lost Paul George, I can see the writing on the wall. And the writing on the wall is we've got to rebuild. So we're going to rebuild with assets. So we're going to go out there and get draft picks, and we're going to build for the future. And here's what we want. We want to get these draft picks quick because we want to rebuild quick. This isn't a 10-year plan. We want to be back in contention in 4 or 5 years where we really put together a team that can win a title. And Russell Westbrook is, you're not going to be part of this. You shouldn't be part of this. You should be on a team competing for a championship. That's not going to be us. So if you've been following that story, you knew that that is the way he wanted to go. So he was getting traded to somewhere. Now, yesterday, when we talked to Shane Young, we kind of both of us had said it sounds like Miami was the team. Well, it's Houston. Okay, maybe that's surprising, but the trade isn't surprising. But now it gives us another team in the West to put into the pile of potential champions. And maybe it's a little less, a little plus, right? But it's not, it's really not equal, but at least it's in the conversation. And when you get into a tournament setting and you don't know where the dominoes are going to fall, give every one of those teams a real fighting chance to win it all. Good. It's about time. Because for the past 5 years, we have been evaluating teams based on how good Golden State is. And we've absolutely done it without hesitation in the past three. Because when you have a team with Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and, oh, by the way, Kevin Durant, who might be the best player in the league, that was going to be hard to do, to pick a team out of the West that was going to be able to dethrone that. Now you've got a bunch of teams that can. Golden State could win it, yeah, but so could the Lakers, so could the Clippers. So, I mean, it's great. So let's not destroy the idea that this is all just superpower at the super top. We've had that for a while. Now we're spreading the wealth a little bit because some of these teams are playing it out. Good for them. 800-777-2907 on Twitter at Tony D Radio as we roll along on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, on Twitter at Tony D Radio. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Of course, we've been talking about the big story today, the trade for Russell Westbrook by the Rockets, sending Chris Paul to Oklahoma City. And two protected first-round picks. By the way, that gives the Thunder 8, in case you were counting. And lost count, I am here to remind you. That gives them 8 down the road in the next few years. 8! They are really going to be a player in the draft because they're not going to probably keep all eight. They're probably going to trade some. Maybe they'll trade Chris Paul and get even more. Who knows? So, but that contract by Chris Paul is so bad. God, it's a terrible contract. It's amazing they got rid of it. So anyway, Chris Paul is likely on the move as well. The Thunder aren't going to want to keep Chris Paul around. They just want to go, let's look down the road and build. Let's build it up. Boy, I wonder if Billy Donovan signed up for this. Good old Billy Donovan. Remember, he won back-to-back NCAA championships at Florida? Toyed with the idea of going to coach the Orlando Magic. Actually didn't toy with the idea. If my memory is correct, he actually took the job and then reneged on it. Yes, it was. Hold on. Yeah, Billy Donovan took the Orlando Magic job. I remember it now. He took the Orlando Magic job and he flew. The way they structured it was he was going to Orlando. So they flew a private plane from Gainesville to Orlando. He attended the press conference to say, hey, I'm here. I'm really excited. I'm really excited to get this thing going. Magic, this is going to be great. We're going to have a good year. Blah, 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 blah. This is my dream come true. I want to coach the NBA. Blah, 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 blah. I had a great time in Florida. And then instead of saying goodbye at Florida first and then going to Orlando, he went to Orlando first and then went back to Florida. And while he was at Florida, so he's got two press conferences in a day. He flies back to Gainesville. He's at the press conference in Gainesville. He's like, this is a tough decision. I played, coaching this team has been an honor, blah, 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 blah. I won championships and really built something here, et cetera, et cetera. And then he started saying goodbye to everybody and he realized, oh man, I don't want to leave. And then overnight, like two nights later, he said, I'm going to have to back out and stay the coach at Florida. But the NBA dream kept calling again. And he went back a couple of years ago. He went and left Florida for the NBA in Oklahoma City. But when you joined the Oklahoma City Thunder at the time, I wonder if he was thinking, you know what? I am going to win a championship here. I've got one of the best players in the NBA in Russell Westbrook. I'm going to win a title. This is going to be great. But instead, he's now going to be part of a team that has got draft picks. Yay, draft picks. I can see the season ticket holder meetings now. Hey, on Tuesday, the Thunder will be taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. Come see Giannis Antetokounmpo play your Thunder and get a chance to be part of our draft pick lottery fun. If you can correctly predict the order of the 2022 draft and where the Thunder will pick, you'll win season tickets for life. Enter at participating kiosks. I can only imagine how fun that's going to be. Suit up and play for the Thunder night Wednesday when they take on Detroit. You could be part of the bench lineup by your Oklahoma City Thunder. Just sign up at your area blah, blah, blah store and come on in and you could suit up and sit on the bench for Billy Donovan's Thunder. Mingle with the players. Go to the locker room. Why not? Everybody else is suiting up. It's going to be fun. I'm sure that's not exactly what Billy Donovan thought about his five-year plan when he signed up to be the coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder. I've got a team that can be in contention for a championship every night. Scott Brooks is like laughing hysterically. Ha ha ha, you thought it was me. Ha 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 ha. Nevertheless. But boy, I'll tell you right now, think about, as I said earlier, think about where this Western Conference, how fun it's going to be in this seeding. Right? Like your eighth seed could be the New Orleans Pelicans. Ron and I had talked about this a couple days ago. The way you view the New Orleans Pelicans with Zion and all of the players that they got from the Lakers and the young talent is the Pelicans could be a team that finds itself in maybe the second month of the season, right? They're not great, but they're not terrible, right? They give you a good fight night in and night out. They put themselves in positions to win. Maybe too young to find the right ways to win, but they're a really fun basketball team. They're league pass worthy. You'll watch them because they are exciting. But they're good enough to make a run at the bottom end of the conference, right? They're good enough to be knocking on the door of the bottom part of the playoffs, an eight seed. Maybe it's a little much, but maybe possibly a seven. All right, now whoever is the one seed now has to play this sort of young, confident, we have nothing to lose basketball team in the first round. Now, I'm not expecting the Thunder to make an upset as an 8 seed, but imagine facing that kind of team in the opening round of the playoffs and having to get rid of them and get rid of them quickly. Not easy to do. Golden State might go from a 1 seed that they've been for a long time. They might be down to like a 4 or a 5. It might be the Jazz. It might be the Clippers that take over the top spot. But don't sleep on the Nuggets. I go back and forth with the Nuggets all the time. I go back and forth. Those of you who've listened to this show a long time know, I worked in Denver for 10 years before I moved to Nashville in 2011. I have a soft spot in my heart for the Nuggets. When I moved to Denver, I was young, but I knew I was going to be taking over the sports department, and I wanted to get to know every team as best I could, right? I was jumping into a new market. I was covering Broncos training camp. I wanted to get into the Nuggets because I love the NBA, and the Nuggets were great. They were so great at helping me get acquainted with the team and letting me go to practices and everything to sort of get to know the franchise really well. I covered them through the Carmelo Anthony years. I covered them through the post-Carmelo Anthony years. I mean, all of their history of being a really bad team to a playoff team that couldn't get out of the first round to making the Western Conference Finals against the Lakers. I got a little soft spot in my heart for the Nuggets. But I go back and forth with them because this is a conference and a league that is very star heavy. And Nikola Jokic is a star. He's an absolutely MVP candidate. But they don't have that second superstar. They've got great players around him. You know, Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, they've got great players around him. But they don't have a superstar around him. And that is where this league does go in terms of championships. You better find that right partner. Now, maybe one of those two guys emerges and rises up to take that. This is going to be a young team. This is going to be a more experienced team. They're going to get better with Michael Porter Jr. But I go back to, but because they didn't really do a big splash of free agency, Jeremy Grant is not a big splash. Does that hurt them in a conference that absolutely did? Utah got bold with Mike Conley. Clippers, of course, Kawhi and Paul George. The Lakers, Anthony Davis. Golden State is going to stay pat, but did pick up D'Angelo Russell after losing Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson to an injury. Rockets now pick up Russell Westbrook. New Orleans got this bevy of young stars, including the number one overall draft pick. The Nuggets stood pat. 54 wins, 56 wins last year. Great season, but did not do enough in the offseason to sort of elevate their status. But nevertheless, it's a bevy of really good teams out of the West that are now all bunched up together, and that's kind of what you want. Look, there's a line I use all the time, especially when it came to SEC football for years and years. One of the things about the SEC, fans used to say all the time, you know why we had two losses? We beat each other up, man. It's a tough conference. And I used to always argue that point by reminding them, listen, don't equate parity for excellence. The two don't go hand in hand. Just because everybody's beating each other up doesn't mean you're all good. It just means you're all beating each other up. Great teams can do that. Awful teams can do that, right? You've got excellence is excellence, and you'll know it when you see it. That's going to be the West. Do not mistake what will be the final records of these teams. I mean, this could be a conference where there is some real back and forth between all of these teams, but the excellence is still going to be there. Again, it'll be parity, but it'll be really, really good parity. Now, Adam Silver, I know he's got issues with the way this is going, but trust me on this. This is a good deal for him. It's a good deal for him because we're not chasing ghosts with Golden State. We're not chasing. We are not looking up and saying what you used to be. We want to be. We're done with that. We're not. We don't need a barometer in that division, in that conference anymore. Something to play up towards. That's gone. Now everyone is just going to go after it. Everyone's going to go after it hard. That's the thing I like about what we're seeing now. This Russell Westbrook move to Houston adds to that fun. It throws the Rockets in the conversation now. It just adds another person. It's going to be fantastic. Trust me on this. Settle back and relax next year. It's going to be a fun ride. It really is. Listen, I know some of you out there are like me. You get a little nervous when guys team up and they form these crazy teams, but there is no super team out there. Name me it, right? It's not LeBron. It's just going to be a group of six, seven teams in the West that all have a legit shot. All right, on Twitter at Tony D Radio. Coming up, hey, one thing that's going on in another sport that's got a dominating presence this week that we're not necessarily paying attention to. It's an oldie but goodie, and I'll tell you what it is next on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right. Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, on SB Nation AM. Now, a lot of our focus is going to be on the NBA and the big trade, etc. But you know what's going on today? At Wimbledon, Rafael Nadal against Roger Federer again. Have they calculated how many times these two guys have played against each other? This is the winner of this semifinal match could face number one seed Novak Djokovic in the finals. I mean, this is great. This is a great rivalry. Now, I'm not a huge tennis guy, but I like what I always like these kind of things where there's a story larger than the match itself. And this is as good of a rivalry in tennis as there ever has been. And you know who else is in the finals? Serena Williams is in the finals again. We were just talking about her at 37 years old. She's going to go off and try to win another Wimbledon championship. Good for her. I used to watch Wimbledon all the time. I have no idea why I stopped. I didn't watch it like religiously. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I didn't watch like early round matches or whatever, but you know, like they used to be, NBC used to have it. Dick Enberg used to broadcast it. Wake up, you know, strawberries and cream and, you know, wake up and watch Wimbledon. Usually I thought it was around 4th of July weekend or something. Like it was around the time, like I was on vacation. And you'd watch Wimbledon. I remember watching Boris Becker when I was a kid. He was 17 years old, winning that championship. And of course, you know, McEnroe, Connors, Pete Sampras, Andre Agassi, you know, watching them win. Roger Federer, of course, later. And then now this Nadal match is going to be great. That's on this morning. And Djokovic should be going on very soon. So one of the things I like about Wimbledon is it's like the Masters. There's a specialness to the location that, you know, listen, the U.S. Open is in Queens. It's in New York. It's great. And, you know, Roland Garros, the French Open and down under in Melbourne and the Australian Open. But Wimbledon has like an Augusta National feel to it. The All England Club. There's some pomp and circumstance that goes around with it. Maybe it's a little too snooty, but it is kind of their own thing. And, you know, the Masters has its critics all the time, but then, you know, nevertheless, the Masters is still the Masters. But Wimbledon has that same aura about him, and you got the same familiar names. Nadal, Djokovic, Federer, Halep, and then Serena Williams. And Serena Williams is, you know, we talked with the women's national team just winning the World Cup and what it's done for women's sports and whatnot. Don't look much further than Serena Williams. For her impact, she's probably the best female athlete that we've had in 50 years, and her longevity alone has been fantastic. I mean, 37. I mean, that's listen. 37 is for a tennis player. I don't care how good you are and how naturally talented you are. 37 is old. It's a very young, it's a young person's game. I mean, that's why, like, when it's funny when people say, like, oh, this teenager. Yeah, 15 is a little young. But they go, oh, this teenager is winning at Wimbledon or winning at the French Open. Teenagers have been doing that for years. Teenagers in tennis have been winning forever. They may not win the championship, but they make runs all the time. It's a young person's sport. You got to move quick. And Serena Williams at 37 still got it. Still got it. It's funny, too, because... remember with Tiger, we talked about Tiger Woods, like when you become such a dominating figure in your sport, and especially on an individual sport, when you become so dominant, people have to mimic you. And what they do is they learn to play like you, right? So, for example, let's say you're a woman tennis player and you are a big server. and you're serving at a certain mile per hour that is beyond the competition. Well, as a young player, you learn, all right, if I'm going to make it to that next level, that's what I'm going to have to do. So you build your game based on the best. That's one of the reasons why, even when Tiger won the Masters, there were people who were a little bit more realistic about his chances to return to dominant golf. Because what he had was a dominating game in his younger years that was so different from everybody else's, and that alone was good enough to just pencil him the favorite. The fact that he had enormous talent added to that factor, and that's why he could win some tournaments by 12 shots. Because A, he was playing a different kind of game, and he excelled at it. He was so good at it that it blew the competition away. But what happened? If you're a young Jordan Spieth, or you're a young Patrick Reed, Dustin Johnson, name your golfer, that's growing up as a young kid watching Tiger, then you know, all right, to play on the tour, that's what I have to do. I have to hit it a certain distance. I have to be really good with my short game. I have to be really good with my ball striking. And that's what I'm going to work on as I develop my game over and over again. It's the same thing in tennis, which makes Serena Williams' excellence and her dominance still really impressive, is that there are young people who've all they have known their whole life, going to these tennis academies, hitting balls into the net, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The one thing that they've known over and over again is, I want to be her. I want to be just like her. I want to play tennis like her. And the fact that she's holding them back still, in some cases still being able to do that at her age, is really impressive. Because even if Tiger didn't have his setback, right, even if Tiger didn't have the divorce and the cheating and the scandal and even the injuries, there was going to be a point where guys were going to be winning playing like him, and Father Time was going to intersect with him, and then the young group was playing like Tiger, and then he's trying to play like Tiger at an older age, and eventually those worlds would have collided and the younger players would have said, yeah, well, you know what, I'm not afraid of you because I'm just like you. So it has that same level and that same feel with Serena Williams, right? She's 37. I mean, she might as well be 50. I mean, my God, 37 is old in tennis. And the fact she's in the finals is really impressive. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, again, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. We're going to get into some college football coming up in the next hour. The media days are all going to be kickstarted next week. A number of them next week. The SEC is going to dominate the week with four. Then you got the ACC. You've got the Big Ten. I think the Pac-12 is going on at the same time. I know the Big 12 is going on at the same time. And what these are, in case you don't know, but most of you do, it's just coaches getting into podiums. They bring a couple of players and everything is going to be great. Everything is going to be awesome. We're looking forward to the upcoming season. I was joking with Ron. I would love for one day a coach to be like, no, we expect to win maybe one or two games. That's it. We have no team. But they don't. Of course they don't. They're selling the program. They're looking good in front of the boosters. They're looking good in front of everybody, you know, everybody they can. They're telling you how awesome it is. One little football note that caught my eye. Tennessee head coach Jeremy Pruitt, that he's going to be speaking on Tuesday. He got into some trouble. And get this. He got into some trouble with the NCAA, a little minor rule, because he congratulated a high school, his high school, for winning a basketball championship on Twitter. And according to the NCAA, that's a no-no. Because it gives endorsement to the high school and the coaches. And you can't do that. Now, I'll be honest with you. The NCAA rulebook is too thick, but it's one of those situations where it feels like you have to be overprotective of this thing, because I think when they write these rules, they're so afraid of the slippery slope. Like, if you sat down somebody who created the rules in the NCAA handbook, they would say, like, well, we don't really want a coach not to congratulate his old high school for winning a state championship. However, if we allow that, then later down the road, some other coach is going to be using Twitter to really get himself an upper hand in recruiting. And we have to keep an eye on that. It's like every year you hear about this story, right, about how the NCAA, somebody wanted to pay for a player to see his sick mother, right? And the NCAA says, no, you can't do that. So the poor kid can't go see his sick mother. And everybody loses their mind. And the NCAA doesn't say anything to its own defense. And if you stick up for that by saying, well, they want to be careful because it's so slippery slope that they're really worried about how that is going to be used. That is going to be a precedent for any other thing. And next thing you know, players are going to get inappropriate benefits from boosters. Even though you know and I know that the reality of it is each case can be special. That there doesn't have to be a precedent. That you can say, we normally don't do that, but now we will. So Pruitt just sends out a tweet. Hey, congratulations to Plainview High School in Alabama. That's his high school. I mean, I went on Twitter. My old high school won the state lacrosse championship. I congratulated my old high school for winning the state girls lacrosse championship. But I'm not in a position as a coach to be in trouble with the NCAA for that. He had to delete the tweet. He deleted the tweet 37 minutes later. And you know why he deleted the tweet? Because somebody who monitors Tennessee social media knew the rule. Said, coach, you got to take that down. But it's just congratulating my old high school. No, you got to take that down. You're done. Take it down. Don't worry about it. You just don't want to leave it up. So you got to take it down. I know. It's so silly. There's so many rules that are just ridiculous. But they are so scared of a wide open, wild, wild west recruiting where anything goes and everybody's throwing jewelry and money and jobs for parents and girls and drugs and anything that they can get their hands on at young recruits. They're so afraid of the wild, wild west of recruiting that they monitor it like you can't even breathe. They go from one extreme to the other. They don't want anarchy, so they go with like total dictatorship. It's there's no in between whatsoever. 800-777-2907 on Twitter at Tony D Radio on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio
and on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio and SB Nation AM. So we continue to break down the way the NBA is going to look. Major League Baseball, full slate of games tonight. It's back from the All-Star break. Now, listen, when it comes to Major League Baseball, there's one thing that I'm going to now pay more attention to thanks to Justin Verlander. I wasn't really paying attention to the amount of home runs that were being hit in Major League Baseball in the first half of the season. I knew it was a lot, but I always thought, it's a lot. What are you going to do? And now that Verlander said the balls are juiced, it makes me pay attention more. Like, if there's going to be five in a game, let's say, I'm going to be like, oh, wait a minute, hold on. We talked about it earlier when Verlander made those comments. And if you're Major League Baseball, offense sells, right? Pitching matchups is where maybe guys like me really like the game get into, but the average fan likes offense. You know, that remember that old line, chicks dig the long ball? Everybody digs the long ball. Everybody likes baseball. They like home runs. They like offense. But if you're Major League Baseball, what Verlander says, you on the one hand, you're glad that somebody is not throwing the steroids around as the reason why home runs are being hit. But on the other hand, you don't necessarily want your game to be sort of in this cloud of are they manipulating equipment so much just to give us a product for us to enjoy? And does that affect the overall game itself? It is supposed to be mano a mano, pitcher versus batter. That single competition between those two people is supposed to lead to the greater, you know, the greater good of the game, right? Pitcher versus batter, and that leads to the overall competitiveness of team versus team. If one side is at a major disadvantage because the ball, when hit, flies further than it should, well, yeah, I can see people going, well, I don't know. But on the other hand, if the results are things people want, I don't know if people actually care. I don't know if people actually care. I don't think you'll have people going, yeah, I really love baseball, but the pitchers are giving up so many home runs because they're at a disadvantage, I'll stop watching. There is something about home runs that we gravitate towards, even when they know we're tainted. You don't have to look much further than Barry Bonds. When Barry Bonds was going around hitting home runs and setting the record for single season and career, we may not have liked the fact that we watched, but I know in Colorado, and I know a lot of other places around the country, they sold ticket packages that included the Giants in it at a higher priced rate than other teams because Bonds was coming. And with Bonds, you were only going to see two things at the plate, either a home run or an intentional walk. I mean, it was crazy. But Major League Baseball still went to the, yeah, you guys like seeing this. Even though we all were kind of like, yeah, but we don't like how we're seeing this. We're watching it, but we don't like what, you know, we don't like how we're watching it. And even though baseball doesn't really, is not really going to have that now, because again, there isn't a cloud of steroids that disgusts us. I don't think a juiced baseball, as Verlander put it, I don't think it disgusts us. I think we can sit back and go, yeah, it's part of the change. It's part of different the way they just do business. Other sports do it. I mean, Serena Williams is going to play in the finals of Wimbledon. She's not using a wooden racket. Right? They're going to play the British Open next week. They're not using hickory shafts. You change the equipment. And sometimes when you change the equipment, you better the game. Like, serves are faster now because of the racket. Right? Golf balls go further because the ball is designed better and the clubs are designed better. Yeah, in baseball, it stinks because we're not all on the same playing field in terms of there's one side of the competition that is at a disadvantage. It can't necessarily compete on a level playing field. But at the same time, the you know Texas Rangers shut out the Astros last night. You're going to get games like that. You can still get great pitching performances like Walker Buehler did against the Rockies 2 weeks ago. Not all is lost in the baseball landscape. And, you know, actually might throw a little bit more excitement into the game. Who knows? All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. It is a Friday. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Again, glad you could join us. Big news in the NBA as we continue to roll along on this morning on SB Nation AM.